right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with Chuck, and not with John, who is sitting inside a blow dryer.
He's on the road, driving his big rig eastbound
and
down.
I'm in the channel between France and England.
Can you turn off your air conditioner?
I was like, can you not lean out the window and hold your phone right above the roaring pavement?
So on a scale of 1 to, like, Bill Simmons Skyping someone, how bad does it sound?
Keith's mad. He's visibly upset.
It sounds like when the Chris Vernon show called Sonny Vaccaro last week. And I was like, this is an old man who doesn't know how to use a phone right now. Mm. I don't think he's in the same room as his phone.
I'm your old auntie trying to use Skype for the first time.
Uncle Grandma.
I don't know why. I'm in probably the nicest car I've been in a long time, and I'm not actually driving, but using the
who's driving?
The Atlanta's.
Are you on the MARTA?
No, I just have a driver. Say hello, Leon.
This is amazing.
Hey, Leon.
Leon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Leon, can you take John to Turner Studios in Atlanta, where I know they have audio equipment and microphones?
Just drop me off.
And internet.
So, John, you're going to do the whole podcast with another man in the car with you.
Well, I'm almost to my destination.
Oh, you're driving.
So hopefully I will get out and walk around. I'm headed to the Varsity.
Ooh, classic.
A famed Atlanta eatery.
Hot dogs.
We're getting off the exit now.
Is the Varsity any good?
Yes.
Hot takes.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Varsity's great.
I mean, I haven't had it in like 8 years. I think 8 years last time I had it.
It's nothing.
It's been a long time.
I've gone almost every time I've driven through Atlanta. And my sister lives there, so it's, you know, but it's been a couple years since I've seen her. But it's solid.
I would say it's
better than, you know, we don't count the Varsity is a fast food chain, right?
Okay. No.
Because there's only a few. It's better than any fast food.
It is fast food.
Yeah.
And it is a staple and an iconic Atlanta restaurant.
But that's why you
go
there.
It used to be one of those places that in the Yelp era has gone fully extinct, where it's like, oh, it's great. The employees are mean to you.
They are so mean. No,
but
they're
that's
angry.
Over.
They just,
that doesn't happen anymore.
No, they're smiling.
Those places don't exist.
Right.
Those places, much to my father's chagrin, in the Yelp era are gone. You can't just be mean to people.
Unfortunately.
You'll get that one star, and then your entire business model falls apart.
No, some places rely on it. They're like, hey, this place makes me feel inadequate, so I'm going to complain on the internet, and then it boosts your bona fides.
One? I can't think of a single one that still does it. They've all stopped doing it.
Oh, Yelp? No, but you don't have a choice.
No, they've all stopped. All the places that were famous for being mean have stopped doing it.
Have you been to a nightclub in Miami?
I typically avoid such places.
We should go. It'll make you feel good.
Well, I think you have those. You want a certain level. Oh, now are you wrestling Leon?
Leon?
Are you wrestling Leon?
Is Leon okay?
I just got out of the car, guys.
Oh, okay.
Never spoke, Leon and I.
Good. No. That's 5 stars. Right,
we had one conversation when I got in, like when you first called, and I'd like had to like explain to him what was going on first.
Right.
But well, I'm not talking about bar service, Chuck. Bar service is horrible everywhere.
Mm-hmm. But no,
I'm
I mean
those
like
restaurants where people are like,
oh yeah,
yeah. What do you want? No. Yeah, no, yeah. Well, f- you. No, yeah, yeah. No, or
well, that's
the
like
last
the
place
the,
is maybe
Dick's
the,
Last Resort.
That's a bar.
It's a chain of bars.
You know what still does it? Cheesesteak places still do it.
They do.
What about that place in Chicago? Is it something about the Wiener Circle?
Wiener Circle. I've been there.
They still yell at you, right?
I met Ronnie Woo Woo at the Wiener Circle in Boys Town a couple years back.
What?
Yeah.
Listen to the sentence you just said.
Ronnie Woo Woo. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
Very famous
it's really
Chicago
windy
fan.
Here, so I'm going to go inside.
Isn't that apropos?
The
talking
Varsity
about Chicago, and it's windy.
That's good. Well, does the Varsity, importantly, will they serve you a breakfast? Do they have anything breakfast on the menu? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't think so either.
It's too bad. Have you had breakfast, John?
I haven't. I've been very bad. I haven't had breakfast, and I just now remembered that this podcast is about basketball.
Oh, yeah. This isn't your movie one. Do you have your notes about The Revenant in front of you?
It's pronounced the Revenant, and no, I will be seeing the Mark Wahlberg Classic Mile 22 Insta Classic Mile 22 tonight.
It's going to take me forever to listen to your movie podcast, John,
right,
because you only seem to review new movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can't see. Like, I hate spoilers. Like, I don't watch trailers.
Right.
I hate spoilers so much. So it's going to be.
Well, I kind of don't worry about the demographic of dads who've lost their lives.
Right.
Oh, that is actually the key podcast demographic.
It kind of is.
Is it?
It's
a, oh, no.
Yeah, it's our base.
Yeah.
Have you seen what's on Slack?
My demographic for that podcast is so tiny that there's no way it could ever work as anything other than something for me to do for fun, because no one goes to the movies, especially now that MoviePass is dying.
Yep.
It was a MoviePass podcast, and MoviePass has died. I am an entrepreneurial genius.
One of my greatest regrets is missing the MoviePass era.
Being
at home during the MoviePass era with children, mm-hmm, unable to destroy their business model.
I saw that from afar and said, I'm not wasting my time.
Everyone did.
Not going to do
except
that.
Except for the investors.
I'm not going to waste my time even signing up for it, because
waste
it's going to be gone
time
in 3 months.
That doesn't make any sense, Chuck. You're
wasting your
movies
time.
There's no.
I saw thousands of dollars worth of movies.
Yeah, you just
see
movies.
I was running a business 7 days a week. Forgive me. But what I was saying is, by
we
the time.
We don't want to do this.
You don't want.
Yeah, we don't want to do this.
Yeah, I missed the movie past days, and I had to contort reality to make myself not sad. You're right, guys.
MoviePass was great. You just got to see movies for free for like a year.
Yeah, it was.
Chuck, did you at least have breakfast?
I did.
What'd you have?
I had a chocolate chip cookie. It was peanut butter M&M chocolate chip cookie and a glass of milk.
Hey, John, can you... I know you're inside a restaurant. Is there somewhere you can go that's not inside a restaurant that's not Wendy?
Johnny boy.
Yeah, what? Sorry.
Yeah.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah,
right.
I know, buddy. We got to do a show.
I can't hear you guys.
I'm impressed by the cookie breakfast, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Man after my own heart.
I went for chocolate chip, peanut butter M&M.
My own breakfast was a throwback to the Patreon video I put up. I had some more of those Dippin' Dots cereal.
Oh, my gizzle.
It's not very good.
I walked in and saw the Dippin' Dots box.
The carcass. Thrown,
the
yeah
carcass, the oh, guts, yeah, just sitting on the table. I felt like it felt like a Christmas tree after, you know, like January.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
like
yeah
thrown to the side. It just, all of its use is gone. Was that a spaceship, John?
Yeah, a spaceship just took off, John. What was that noise?
We lost him again.
John's been lost twice.
Yeah, we'll
I
just
think.
I'm outside. There's cars.
There's a wonderful.
No, there was a.
It sounded like a UFO.
It was like a theremin mixed with a trombone yeah mute.
It sounded like something.
Something just took off. I don't know. Anyway,
we love you, John.
We'll press on. Those were our breakfasts. After our breakfast, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. Our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. I think I'm going to do the only apology today.
No way. I got a big one.
I got one, too.
Oh, well, we all have apologies. Yeah. This is great. All right. Well, does anyone have anything they need to atone for?
Chuck, I'll let you go first.
This I don't know if it's connected, but John and I did a Patreon-only podcast yesterday where we talked about my four favorite players.
Ooh.
And if you thought we were having technical difficulties now.
We took 2 hours to try to figure out a 30-minute podcast, but we got it done.
I am personally stunned you guys had trouble.
It's impressive. But on that, one of my players, spoiler alert, my mouth is mushy today, is Daryl Dawkins.
Oh.
Loved him. This is his wordplay, the way he handled himself. He was a chocolate thunder flying, Robazine crying, teeth shaking, glass breaking, rump roasting, bun toasting, wham bam, glass breaker, I am jam. Man. Remember that?
Yeah. Burr? Yes.
So this is my apology.
I tried to say all that and failed.
This is my apology. We didn't know what Robazine crying was, right?
No, we didn't.
Sounds like something you guys would know about.
It was Bill Robazine.
Oh.
Who was a player who, after this dunk where he got dunked on so bad he had to leave the league. Chuck lit thunder. He is holding, John, Keith is holding a Daryl Dawkins Chocolate Thunder shirt.
I just pulled it out while we were talking about it.
That's outstanding. That's insane.
It's mine. Chuck.
So here's the...
Don't ever mess with Keith's NBA bona fides. It's an obsession.
Here's where we should apologize. Bill Robozine wasn't given the respect he deserved because he killed himself like 2 years later.
Oh, no.
No. Daryl Dawkins killed him.
Daryl Dawkins killed him. Is there a conspiracy?
We've been over this. He dunked on him. He's dead.
And then he died. No.
Did he really kill himself?
Ironically, you mentioned this in the podcast last week. He put a hose in his car.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We're always never sure whether to leave in suicide jokes.
Right.
They're clearly jokes, but...
We're joking about it.
Yeah.
But it happened.
Your life is valued. You have friends.
You're important, and there's a phone number you can call, I'm sure.
Right, but I assume Robozine was something that you you guys tracked down at Bonnaroo.
Right, like Robitussin and Promethazine. Yeah.
I thought this was some scissor up or something.
Yeah, we thought it was that purple drink.
Man, I'm never making fun of Timofey Mozgov ever again.
Yeah, that's too bad. John, what's your apology?
Boys, we really messed up last week.
How's that?
We had the chance to do something special. Remember how we made Chuck read that letter?
Right.
All we needed to do was bleep out the word thank. Every single time. Just bleep it out.
Oh, yeah.
And then end it with, instead of the Kawhi hand signal, just a big, beautiful middle finger. And tonally, it would have worked completely.
Yeah. I like that.
I believe that's Jimmy Kimmel's gag, the unnecessarily bleeping. I don't want to get in trouble there.
He does do that.
I meant it would have worked perfectly. Just blank you, Pop.
I like, I
the
like,
great steal.
I like that Kawhi, you know, his team took weeks to come up with that letter.
Oh, my God.
Carmelo wrote like a long couple, two, three paragraph essay to the Thunder.
Right.
For being there for 9 months.
Right. And having just a really terrible city to have an NBA franchise.
Carmelo seems like a really great guy unless you're physically on a basketball court with him.
Oh, yeah. He seems awesome.
No, I want to...
Whereas Kawhi just seems like John Wayne Gacy.
Carmelo, I would like to go to a bodega with in New York City. Just like who he
bodega
is.
Bodega count for the year is up to, I'm going to say 16.
Yours?
the number of times you've said bodega.
Bodega?
Yes.
I love bodegas. They're the best.
It's your key phrase. It's like my Schadenfreude.
So my apology, also from last week's show. Last week we did a trivia show, and it seemed reasonable we were going to get some things incorrect. You know, we're doing a lot of analog trivia tracking, crossing names out,
true,
having lists of 50. We actually did pretty well without making any big errors, but when we were talking about the guys who had the terrible shooting seasons, and one of our listeners was like, how come Rubio... Where's Ricky Rubio?
Where's Ricky
is
Rubio?
Is the big question.
Yeah.
And that was a completely fair question where I was like, oh, wait, yeah. Ricky Rubio had some terrible field goal shooting seasons. And so it's like, all right, there obviously is something going on with who qualified for the leaderboard. And I'm like, well, how does Ricky Rubio not qualify? So I was looking into it because there's a season Ricky Rubio started 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps he was too swart.
He shot 38% from the field. But he didn't qualify. So I was looking into it. This is stunning. To qualify for the NBA's field goal percentage leaderboard, you have to make 300 shots in a season. That seems really high. So Ricky Rubio
took
700 shots 1 year, but because he was so bad at shooting...
He didn't make 300.
He doesn't qualify on the leaderboard.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell me he made 299.
No, he made the 200. So this, I started thinking, like who else did we leave out? And, like, what is this loophole? Why do you have to make... It seems like it should be based on at least field goal attempts.
Right.
My
Not
thought is,
makes.
Like, if you take 500 shots in a season, come on. Like, let's
be able to track how bad you are.
Let's get him on the leaderboard. So I was looking up. And actually, my browser crashed, so hang on.
This is like the Ghosts of Computers Past version of our podcast.
I like
being haunted.
I think it
Ghost
gives us
in the machine style.
It gives us our show texture. It's like listening to a podcast on vinyl.
Oh, I'm cutting all
Lawnmower
this out.
Lawnmower Man, Jeff Fahey is going to come out of Keith's computer screen, Ghost Dad. I'm telling you, Chuck, you got to get MoviePass.
I thought it was done.
There's like, now it's like MoviePass Lotto.
Oh.
So you like open it and you're like, is it working? Did they get the funding today?
Mm.
And then usually like some of the movies are available. You can't go cruising though.
So I just looked this up, restarted the browser. There's all kinds of great names on this. Guys who didn't quite hit 300 field goal attempts, who shot terribly. So even if you just cut it down to 200 makes, I mean, it is a highlight reel of Marco Bellinelli's, of Corey Brewer's,
yes,
Al Farouco Aminu's, Bob Covington all over the place, Derek Fisher, Randy Foy, Langston Galloway, Danny Green, Stanley, yeah, John, everybody, like all the shooters who are bad, they're all here. And again, like just lowering it to 200 makes in a season adds 80 names over the last 10 years, where we only had like 30 we were working with. So anyway, I thought that was really interesting. But most importantly, still the worst season ever, Kobe Bryant. There's still no one who shot worse than Kobe Bryant.
I saw that last, I saw him playing that last year, and it was awful.
His final season. But again, why is field goals made, like why is that the cutoff? It should be field goals attempted. If you start all 82 games, if you play like 1,600 minutes,
mm-hmm,
you should be able to out.
That sounds like something.
You know how they look back at Bayesian statistics?
Yeah.
One day there will be Ishopian statistics, and there will be a old-timey photo of you, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
This will be your legacy.
That'd be great.
I think that's probably something they put in with the players' union. They're like, hey, man, if you're really bad, we won't even count how many you make.
Do you think
the NBA statistics requirements are collectively bargained? That'd be incredible.
This explains all those last second halftime heaves right after the clock expires.
Right, that rule changed.
Right.
Hey, here's a early par fadeaway. Next week on the show, Monty McCutcheon is coming on. NBA referee.
Uh-oh.
My goal is to have rules changed
after
based on the conversation. We've actually allotted kind of a longer bit of time.
I am so afraid of this episode.
It's going to be great.
So you're going for 11-foot rims?
I'm going for 11-foot rims.
Really?
No, I'm not. But that actually takes us to... So those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs... Actually, spoiler, I'm not sure we're getting to our steak and eggs best thing. We're going to just mainly answer some listener-submitted questions from our Patreon supporters. The croissant questionnaire.
Any questions?
Yes. Are you going to finish that croissant?
Knock yourself out.
That croissant. Finish that croissant.
All right. Monte World Peace asks, would basketball be better or worse if the rim were a foot higher? Should I try to get, should I tell Monty McCutcheon, hey, pass us on to the league office? We need 11-foot rims.
I wonder what, like, the, you know, how shots would change. Are we going to increase field goal percentage?
Less of them would go in, Chuck.
But it's harder to defend a shot.
I don't think the block shot's going to be the biggest issue.
Mm.
When you're shooting a shot, it gets blocked off your hand. It's not
Jordan to have a 0% field goal percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's fewer dunks.
That's the worst.
There's only going to be
like 10
guys
people
who can dunk.
Right.
Like DeAndre Jordan can still dunk.
Right. LeBron will dunk.
Marc Gasol will officially never go near the basket ever again.
The dunk would now become...
Or maybe he'll jump.
Right.
Maybe we'll see a Mark the Shark jump.
The dunk becomes the home run.
I think
it's rare and exciting.
I think this goes back to the old basketball purist in quotation marks. Like, too many dunks ruining the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, do you like more layups and more... I can't imagine it being better.
I'm just sick and tired of these black guys with their hair and their dunks.
Right.
Let's even the playing field. If they couldn't dunk, they wouldn't be as good as they are, MAGA.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to have to put, like, a racist watermark under those, mm-hmm, to let people know it's a joke.
I said MAGA.
I know.
I think that's like...
I'm just worried about the aggregators, Chuck.
I'll go yes under the proviso... Can we also put in trampolines everywhere?
Yes.
It is time for the return of
trampoline basketball. What's that? Sounds ball?
Slam ball. By the way, my 3-year-old
broken fibia and tibia ball.
My 3-year-old got invited to like one of those trampoline house birthday parties. I don't want to take him. Kids just break bones.
He'll just be fine. He'll go in like a bounce house. Like from a kid, basically.
Kids do not break bones.
Power listener Chris Howell's son broke his femur at a trampoline bounce.
Yeah,
bounce
house. When they're three,
character building. Keith.
Yeah, right. That's true. When they're the pain, you know, it's important. When they're that young, though, they like usher them into like the soft, fluffy. You know, it's not trampolines. It's like a
I just don't want to have to be physically carrying around a 4-year-old. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like, oh, your leg's broken? Great, I have to carry you for you know. That's terrible.
No, then you just put him in the dark place.
Right. In the
sunken place.
In the podcasting area. All right.
everything breaks.
Feeling Minnesota asks, if you take the Warriors and Rockets out of the mix, who is your singular Western Conference dark horse that might make some noise in the playoffs?
Thunder? I don't know.
I think so. I guess the question is, if you think those guys are clearly the top two teams in the West, who's third?
James Harden is fat.
James Harden is throwing cell phones and
on roofs
and strip clubs. Apparently,
yeah, he's taking the law in his own hands, and he's also taking ham sandwiches. Apparently, because he's like 30 pounds overweight.
I mean, I'm not sure. I have the Rockets as number two in the West. I guess I do.
Yes, you do.
I think it's Thunder or Jazz.
Give me Portland. Yeah. Give me Portland for fun.
Yeah.
After the three seed last year, you're still on board.
I think they're the dark horse.
Also, Kevin Durant ethered Portland.
CJ McCollum is still embarrassing himself.
This is terrible news.
He just said it was disgusting that Boogie Cousins went to the Warriors.
Yeah. That was the equivalent of a rap battle of like Jay-Z versus Vanilla Ice.
I'm worried about the Blazers after this summer. Seth Curry is healthy, he was really good 2 years ago. He can be a good backup, but I don't get what the Blazers are doing. No. Blazers are just holding steady.
But every year you're like, why? And then Dame just brings them to the third seat.
For the Jazz, there's some concern to me that last year, you know, they got hot, and now teams after a year of looking at Donovan Mitchell to figure it out.
They got tape.
But all of their second half of the year, like from January on, Jazz stats are incredible. They had two of the best three lineups in the NBA. Yeah. They're bringing back everybody, so you have that cohesion. Like, maybe you would have liked them to add a little more firepower, but if Donovan Mitchell gets better, seems like the Jazz are... I mean, when Gobert played, they were incredible.
Insane.
And like Ricky Rubio going out in the playoffs, we didn't get to see what actually would have happened. You know,
I like your Jazz answer better just because I feel like Billy Donovan is a really... large albatross.
Really?
Yeah. I can't.
I worry about the Thunder a little bit. I mean, they have a great team, but yeah, the Jazz seem to me, if they get a full season out of Gobert, can be something. But I still feel like this is the gulf between the best teams in the West. I mean, it's larger than the gulf in the East, which is a pretty large gulf.
Well, speaking of the East, Feeling Minnesota also asks, considering how unbalanced talent in the conferences, how unbalanced talent is in the conferences, who are some strange Eastern Conference all-star dark horses you could see making the squad?
Give me some.
Does Gordon Hayward count as a dark horse or no?
No, I don't think he does. I mean, I think he's...
Okay.
So I don't know if he'll be full strength. But.
So you would say dark horse is just whatever, like somebody on a team... Who
I'm saying Brooke Lopez Bucks.
The center.
That is a dark, dark horse.
What about Bam a potato?
No.
Bam Abadayo.
Similarly dark
but
horse.
But so like if you look, I mean.
There's no big man. Really.
I'm trying to decide. Like Blake Griffin should get back in just on sheer numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Assuming the Pistons are in the running.
Yeah, he'll get in.
If Porzingis plays two games for the Knicks, he'll get in.
He could.
He should get voted in, probably. How many Knicks are making it?
But,
I mean, they don't have anyone. Kevin Knox.
Oh, God, he was so...
Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke. Kevin Knox, Frankie Nicotine. The starting five will probably be Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's just a squad.
I think you can see a thing if the Raptors or... I mean, Raptors, Celtics, Sixers are going to get so many All-Stars, probably.
Yeah.
Just so many
All-Stars.
Those
three teams are going to probably be 60% of the All-Star roster. 70. I don't know. I made that number up, so it feels good.
I mean, Oladipo's going to make it. Middleton might finally make it. Chris,
future Grizzly Chris Middleton. Even darker.
Otto Porter.
I guess my super dark. I'll go Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, like Aaron Gordon could.
Yeah.
I can't even remember. Did Kemba Walker
really
ever
nice
make it?
Stats?
Was Kemba Walker an All-Star last year?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yes. No. Dragic.
He has made it.
He has
right?
made it.
I'm not making this up. Or is he just a perennial snub guy?
He made two consecutive.
I thought so. I mean, yeah, I guess if I can't say Gordon Hayward and Keith's taking Chris Middleton, I'll say Aaron Gordon. But I don't believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't.
No.
I wouldn't. I mean, are any Bulls going to make it?
No.
How about any rookies? Are we getting Wendell Carter?
About anybody from the Heat?
I mean, the Heat, Goran Dragic.
Dragic.
I can't believe he made.
Maybe Whiteside if he's like his numbers are.
Where is Whiteside going to go?
Like he's probably going to. Who knows? They might try to inflate his value to trade him. And then next you know, he's an All-Star.
Well, why didn't they do that in the last 2 years?
Such a great question, John. And I hate that I loved him when he first was.
I can't believe you brought
Whiteside
in here.
I've never been more
wrong
about a player than Hassan Whiteside.
I'm trying to decide who the big snub's going to be. Because I feel like it's going to be, there actually aren't going to be that many weird ones. Because, I mean, you have all guys who've made it before. You have the Bradley Beals and the John Walls.
Schroeder?
He is on the Thunder.
Oh, he is now.
He's in the West, brother.
We should do that Game of
Trey Young.
Thing. Trey Young.
Yeah.
Trey Young could do it.
I don't
John
know.
Collins?
Let's do Chuck's All-Stars. Whiteside, Schroeder, James Worthy.
I mean, dark horses. This is what I'm doing. It is a dark horse. Schroeder might
Schroeder
get traded.
Could get traded
week
back.
One.
He could get traded back.
In my weird fantasy worlds, it can happen.
Yeah, I like imagining that Kevin Knox gets voted in or something. He averages 20 points per game on 33% shooting. That's gonna be great. All right.
Hey, is this a good? Let me. I'm gonna get off. Call those people. Tell them I'm gonna be like 20 minutes late. Mm. Call you right back. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We lost John for a second. Chuck. Trent asks,
can we just talk about John until he comes back?
Yes.
Okay.
How many podcasts should a person attend in person?
I mean, you
to
have
fulfill
to
fulfill the obligation.
We got
to
do once a month. We got to talk. He's just a gentle soul. But this, you know, that he's a rolling ball of butcher blades. He's much like me. But at least I'm trying. I'm not one to talk. I had the whole Denver debacle.
You've come to the podcast.
I come to podcast.
You come to podcast.
I do.
You should come to podcast. I don't. That's the lowest bar we could possibly set.
You got to show up.
You have to come to podcast.
He's the Phil Jackson of the podcast.
I'm not coming to that.
He's just like, I'll Skype in.
I'll call in.
I'll call in. He'll probably take 20 minutes before he calls back. What I would have wanted to do is like he called back and then we pretend like we haven't been talking crap about
him. Oh, well, we can do that still.
No, and then we'll see if he listens to the podcast. His hair's awful looking. He's just got this high. Maybe that's it. His hair looks terrible.
Chuck, are you going to talk to John about his hair?
No.
I don't feel like I can do it.
I'm never going to do
We're
it.
We're not that close.
No, I never tell him how awful he looks ever.
I mean, I'm not the person.
No. No. You in this relationship, there's a lot. The three of us, it's funny. There's a lot of like, we all go to the other four. Hey, this guy, you know he's being like that today. Yeah, he is. But
I would say...
I'd assume you and John have incredible conversations about me.
The Fast Break Breakfast podcast power setup is much like a dysfunctional front office.
It is.
We don't speak to each other.
Nope. We save it for the show. That's what it is.
We leave it on the show. We show up on draft night, right. And you're like, Stauskas?
Wow. Stauskas.
Stauskas? Stauskas. Let's do it.
This episode is our
Nick by the way,
episode.
I gave George Hill $40 million. Oh, by the way, how much you think Zeebo's worth?
But that's
double it. That's what I gave him.
That's what's great about this show is that no one cares. If they actually cared about us, like Sacramento fans care
about
their
team. How about that Patreon, which coach is getting fired series?
Here comes John.
Oh, hey John.
Hey,
we've just been plowing through these croissants.
We just told a bunch of lies so we can podcast as long as we want.
Yay!
This is a throwback to year one when Chuck had a boss that would call him, and Chuck would just make up
lies.
Oh man, the alternator! I don't even know what's going on, but I got my alternator guy looking at it. I'll probably be a few hours.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks for coming in, buddy.
Yeah. That's when you're valuable. You don't need to be around as much.
Right. All right. Trent asks, what NBA or WNBA player, current or retired, would you like to see start a weekly podcast? Which NBA WNBA player?
Bison Deli.
Oh.
Bill Robesine.
Those are both very good answers. My answer was going to be none. There's too many podcasts.
Yes. Don't do a podcast.
Except
if you're
for Jeff
listening.
Fisher. Jeff Fisher, if you're listening, start a podcast.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher, Titans former coach?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I spoke about
this
him
is
a
genius.
Lot on
when
last
did you, when
podcast.
Did you decide this?
King of the mullet.
I mean, when I talked to Dave Schilling earlier this week on our episode, we talked a lot about about Jeff Fisher and how much I want him to have a podcast with me. All right. Steak Tips Burgundy asks, by the way, guys, quit changing your handles.
But I love you, Brandon. You can call yourself whatever.
Quit changing your handles on paper.
I think that one's for life.
What are the odds Mike Conley is a useful player this year and does not miss half the season?
What?
Mike Conley is
I'd give
played...
it 50% odds.
Yeah.
50%.
You're that low? What do I not know?
Here's I know that he can't play basketball. I know that he posted a video on Instagram.
I know.
Of working out, which means you're not healthy.
I know. He cannot get a technical foul if he tried.
That's true.
He can't.
Yeah.
If he tried to get a tech, they would probably Marty McCutcheon would. That's a question.
Monty McCutcheon.
Marty McCutcheon.
It's fine.
Monty. Mary. Mary McCutcheon.
I'm going to start off by saying Mary.
Mary McCutcheon. That's a power move. That's how you. Hey,
that's
good
called negging.
Morty.
Morty McCutcheon.
Morty, what's your favorite?
Morty McCutcheon and use a lisp.
But yeah, no, that's the one thing. He never gets to heck. He almost like doesn't care.
Well, he got that one and he got rescinded.
Yeah, he got what? Yeah, they took that
well,
back.
I asked
and
him
said,
when
oh,
he was
Mike, I'm sorry.
I was there when he was given his sportsmanship
right
man of the year award, and I asked him. Does he ever feel like maybe he needs to step it up and get a tech? And he's like, and he gave me the blandest response.
I remember that was one of the highlights. We actually got a press pass. That was the best.
Oh yeah, I've still yet to say Keith Parrish.
Cub reporter Keith
fast
Parrish.
Break breakfast. I say Keith Parrish fan sided. Or the step back. I've been a little too nervous. I got to get that soundbite just so I can have it for the podcast.
Speaking of soundbites,
how scared do you get when you're in that situation?
Oh my goodness.
Well, I mean, I've been in the press conferences with Pop,
right?
Where again, at a Grizzlies game, they're hilarious because no one's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's like six people in the room, and no one asks Pop a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not about to ask Pop a question.
I'll ask Pop a question.
But if I do, because I mean, there's the nervousness of one. I want to get future press passes, so you can't go outlandish and it somehow embarrass the team,
right?
That you're there, but. As far as like asking JB Bickerstaff a question or Mike Conley a question, not really at all, because those guys are both incredibly personable and easy to talk to, and they always try. Like JB Bickerstaff tries really hard to accept every question as important. So, I don't know. There's some nerves, but not that many.
Keith, I'll make you a deal. I'll go and ask any question you want, but I get to do it in my Nate Duncan ambient voice.
As long as it's your press credentialed under your movie podcast, yes.
Under Keith Parrish, Fast Break
right.
Break Fart,
or you can just
fart,
you
break,
can just
break, fart.
You can identify yourself. You just say Danny LaRue, Fart Break Break Fart. yeah. What is anyway? All right, let's moving on. Chair Bear Champion has a handful of questions. These are some good topics. I don't understand how he phrased the question, but I will read it verbatim as he pays us money monthly. Sometimes we say that we don't have the words for something. Well, I want your word on these questions. Kawhi to the Raptors.
Who cares?
The word?
I don't know if we're looking for a word association.
Meh. Okay. Meh.
No. Smart business by the Raptors.
He wants a word, John.
I'm going to say transient.
Yes.
Okay. Or brief.
Rental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're gonna go with one word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll go hobo. Also, I'll go with Keith. I'll follow Keith.
All right, DeMarcus Cousins to the Warriors. Disgusting has already been taken by CJ McCollum.
Okay. Rich man's Jahlil Okafor.
Is that all hyphenated?
It's a hyphenated.
Yeah.
2K-esque.
Oh, okay. Like it.
All right. I was gonna
video
go.
Game like
high hyphen comedy. High comedy.
High comedy.
It's great. Philadelphia curse. This is referring to Zaire Smith breaking a foot or something and being out again. With their track record of all their guys getting hurt, going back through the process days. Philadelphia curse, incompetence, or just unfortunate?
I mean,
he just doesn't see the bigger picture, man. This is their MO, the first year fake injury.
Oh, right.
Right.
Sit it out every year.
Sit it out. Try to get him that rookie of the year next year.
Red shirt.
Yeah.
I was
going
to say.
Get that rookie ? Of the year ?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say generational sin. Ooh. These are the sins of the father being passed down onto the children, like
right.
a curse.
Right.
So I guess I will go under Philadelphia curse. Yes.
Mm.
That's yes being my one answer.
No, I don't believe in that stuff. So my word would be
Wait,
unfortunate.
You believe in a sky demon that'll punish you if
no,
you masturbate,
no.
but you don't believe in a generational curse?
Not anymore.
Okay.
All right.
That DMT.
Finally, predictions for healthy Celtics. I don't know if we can get more than one word here. What's your predictions for a healthy Celtics roster?
Hopeful. I want to see
Hopeful's
what they look
word.
Like. Full strength. Brad Stevens with all his pieces, doing his chess work with some of the best talent in the East, and another year of Tatum and Brown and Semi Ojeleye and all these guys that they have built in. Not just the guys coming back. But the guys that got good, and Terry Rozier doesn't have to be counted on. And he could just fill in those minutes when he can be a beast. Yeah, so I guess my prediction would be high hopes or whatever.
I guess my word is overstuffed. The roster, there's too much.
There's a lot of talent.
You're going to have every single game people questioning who should probably be in as like the closing lineup.
Right.
There's just there's too many guys.
In a town where people talk.
That sounds like an excellent problem to have.
It's a great problem to have when you've been bad and you're progressing forward as a franchise. When you're a team who right now their expectations are astronomical.
I mean, it's finals.
People think they are supposed to make the finals.
Yeah.
We know Brad Stevens can turn a team with like mid-30s wins talent into a 40-win team.
Right.
Or 40s wins talent into a 50-win team. Can he take a team that has mid-50s win talent
right.
and make them...
A 60-win team.
Yeah, make them even better.
Right.
Can he juggle all these guys?
Won,
Kyrie,
what,
Gordon?
Like 54 games last year was...
They won a ton of games last year.
Wouldn't know
who I mean, Gordon.
But they knew who they had to play. They knew these guys were getting a bunch of minutes every night. They knew coming down to who their best players were. I think it's going to be a big question. I mean, I'm not saying the Celtics aren't going to be the best team in the East. I think they likely are. Like, it's them or the Raptors for me. I think Sixers are slightly behind, but those two.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the question, the roster, the answer to the question for me, overstuffed. There's too many guys. I don't know how it's going
to
work.
I think they have this wonderful situation when it comes to chemistry with that team because of the way they went through to the Eastern Conference Finals with this team of, like, rough, ragged, injured dudes. And they now have this identity that when they add these superstars back, they're going to, I think, focus on the finals, and that'll get them there. With Brad Stevens, I don't think it's a problem.
It's a good answer. All right.
These three words,
yes,
I'll use
John.
Daddy's always happy.
Daddy's always happy. Daddy's always happy.
And the other word I thought about using is offensive because it is offensive that they have all these players coming back and they're going to be so good. And it's also, this is a team that had no offensive firepower last year. They were the best defensive team, but they were below average offensively. So now that they're actually adding some guys who can, score and, play offensive basketball, I think, I hate to say it, but, the sky's the limit for them. We have another every week, Liam Marcus Cousins asks me about how I'm going to react to Marcus Smart winning an NBA championship. Now, that's some hubris.
Yeah.
Because the Western Conference does, in fact, exist.
I was just going to skip that question again, John. But
what's that?
I was planning to skip that question again.
I know.
Skipping that question was my favorite tradition of the croissant questionnaire.
But I mean, I do think they're going to be really, really good. And I can't think of a guy better suited to, especially with his history with Hayward. And you know, he got almost a full year of Kyrie last year. That's another thing that we like to pretend that Kyrie missed the entire season last year, but he didn't.
Yeah. But is Marcus Smart?
He played a lot of games for Kyrie.
Is Marcus Smart going to be happy cheering from the bench?
I mean, I just don't think guys like Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, and I think Marcus Smart will still play a lot, but I don't think Terry Rozier not getting to play is a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal.
And I think the personalities on that team melt. You mean Al Horford is that kind of calming locker room presence, veteran, mixed with guys who are hungry and want to prove themselves outside of places in a new landscape in the East. I think it's going to be great for them. They're almost a lock for 60 wins for
Ooh.
Me.
BSoul510 asks, which of these bad players will have the best year? Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, or Carmelo Anthony?
Wow.
Great question.
So I think of those three, the only one who even has the potential to have an actual good year to me, and this is very small percentage, is Jabari Parker, because I have an irrational belief that he might have something. I think statistically, Zach LaVine can put up numbers.
Yeah.
So he could have a statistically impressive season, I think, while still being the worst.
But he's going to dunk on everybody. What are you talking about,
I mean,
John?
I love his dunks.
He's a dunker.
But he hits those contested threes. I don't know.
I don't know because he's still what, like 21? He's still young.
Sure. No.
Post torn ACL.
Yeah, but it takes a couple years to come back from that. But
Jabari has two torn ACLs, so.
Right.
And I still think both of them have a better chance than Carmelo. Although Carmelo could be useful on the Rockets. I just don't think we're looking at a return to Nuggets glory or anything like that.
Oh, no. He sucks.
I'm like kind of pulling. Washed. I like Carmelo. I'm pulling for him on the Rockets as much as I don't ever normally cheer for anyone on the Rockets.
He's gross. He's a racist. He hates Jeremy Lin so much, he just extinguished him from New York City.
Are you going to watch the Rockets now, Keith?
Yes, I am. They got James Ennis.
Really? James Ennis.
Who everyone says is good, though he can't stick on bad teams.
Right.
He
couldn't play forward.
I like
Miami.
James Ennis, and if you've listened to our show for a long time, you know I thought he should have been playing way more minutes when he was on the Grizzlies. They had a chance to beat the Spurs if they just played James Ennis all that season instead of Chandler Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, it's another team where everyone's like, "Oh, James Ennis, he's a good 3-and-D guy." It's like the Pistons didn't even want him.
Right.
The Grizzlies didn't even want him.
Yeah, at what point are you just going to acknowledge that he sucks?
Right.
Right. That's the question. We're like, I don't know
why.
Everyone's
like, oh, this is the year he gets it.
He gets it. So it's funny that they expect more from him. Yeah, maybe just bad hygiene. People
he could be just a stinky dude.
Don't like being around him. Also, another question. Oh, wait, where is this question? We'll go back to feeling Minnesota. How naive and delusional am I being for getting kind of excited about an occasional Anthony Davis and Jahlil Okafor pairing?
The poor man's Jahlil Okafor? The poor man's DeMarcus Cousins? Hey, you need a guy who can score but doesn't do much else? Huh? Huh?
That worked out well for him.
I'm confused. Are you calling him a poor man's DeMarcus Cousins?
Yes.
Jahlil Okafor.
I know you're hating. I feel like I am the leader of the DeMarcus Cousins criticizing brigade.
I'm kidding.
And that's not even a good joke, John.
No.
I'm bitter. I'm bitter.
I don't know what Jahlil Okafor can do. Like, really?
You don't want to put Jahlil Okafor and Julius Randle out there.
Right.
I don't think you want to put him out there with Nikola Mirotic.
Yeah.
I don't like the Pelicans are
My
grabbing guys.
My sphincter is twitching.
They're grabbing guys like it's 2K. Like, oh, right. Yeah, this guy, or like it's Madden. Or like, oh, yeah, Jahlil Okafor, he was good. He's a top 2 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just add him. It's like, right. I don't know how he fits with your team. And now you the idea of you can create the minutes pairing where Mirotic, Randle, Davis works out. But again, those are three of your most talented players, and right. you can't play them at the same time, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Mertens, you know, slides to the three some, but Okafor, no. I don't. I think you are naive. I think at some point we have to say this guy can't play. He's not really an NBA player. I mean,
I think the people are forgetting who they signed in the offseason and the role that Mirotić is expected to play.
I mean, they were killing with him full time at the
so
four.
Good.
Also, but Okafor's deal. I mean, it is good for the Pelicans. It's an incredibly team-friendly deal. I think only $50,000 of it is guaranteed for this season, and but it's a team option for the second season. So this is really just a training camp deal. I mean, that's all it is. But if somehow
Anthony Bennett didn't exist, this would be the most incredible fall from grace.
It's an unbelievable. It's even a bigger fall from grace. I feel like because he put up stats. I mean, yes, they were bad, but just putting up those raw stats, 16-10 from being a top two pick. You're like, that's a good, you know, that seems like he's going to work out. And then to be nothing since then is crazy.
Yeah, isn't there something to work on there?
I don't know.
It seems weird. It's like a mini Kaepernick situation where, as outsiders, it's kind of like, what could possibly
Oh, you think he's getting blackballed like Kaepernick? What does that have to do with Kaepernick?
Because everyone looks at Kaepernick and you're like, well, he obviously can do something. He's put up stats. What do we not know? With Okafor, I kind of feel similarly like, how bad is this guy when he was putting up, you know, like 17-10?
I feel like you're implying Colin Kaepernick is not in the NBA because of ability. Is not in the NFL because of ability.
I'm implying like, is there something about Jahlil Okafor we don't know that's not ability?
Mm. Or like Nerlens Noel,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
just
really strange.
Does Nerlens Noel actually just fart the entire national anthem and it's really offensive to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Nerlens Noel can't get a job anywhere. I can't believe Nerlens Noel's on the Thunder. Sorry.
I think Nerlens Noel like might get to do stuff this year.
What's wrong with all these ex-process picks who are actually terrible?
Right.
Turns out they're all terrible.
Are they?
Turns out every Hinkie pick was terrible.
Yeah. If you can't get looked at in Dallas with and get help.
Right. With Maxi Kleber and Sala Mejri in your way.
Right.
If you can't climb Mount Mejri.
What if Joel Embiid never got healthy? Then what would we be thinking about Hinkie?
I don't know. We'd be giving him the offseason A's because, as David Roth said, GM cosplay is what people love. Doesn't matter if you win, as long as you make moves that like make sense.
Right.
Like, all right. Cool. That's good.
It's the take machine. We're all part of the hot take industrial complex.
Dunked on. Gave the Brooklyn Nets both of them. Gave them. We don't normally do this for non-transformational summers. Got to give the Nets an A.
What? Why?
What are they going to win? They're
That's
not going to win.
Team, though.
What have the Nets done?
They win 26 games or less every
year.
Got
rid of Deron Williams. Congrats.
They did trick teams to take Jeremy Lin and Dwight Howard, which is pretty good.
I mean,
those are good moves. Those are good moves. I'm not saying anyway those are good moves. I'm just saying, guys, it's all C pluses. Like, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, when you're not trying to win, it's easy to make moves that are like, yeah, that's a fine move. Because we're not trying to win, so it doesn't matter.
Tell it to Chris Wallace, Jesus and Joseph.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, we got Shelvin Mack. Grizzlies are going to be good. We got Garrett Temple, who apparently has been a lifetime friend of Chris Wallace because of the LSU connection.
Mm.
Wow.
Speaking of LSU.
Yes, Chuck.
Nashville.
Big news. Let's close it down with
close
some big
it out.
News.
Nashville had a sighting. Yesterday, a Shaquille O'Neal sighting two days ago.
Chuck, you weren't supposed to show up unless you got a tattoo with Shaq.
I know. And
you're here.
Did you track a Shaq?
What happened?
I tried to track a Shaq, and I couldn't hack this track a Shaq.
Couldn't crack it?
So he was
couldn't
in
crack
Nashville.
The hack a track a Shaq. Yes, he was in Nashville. I find out when one of my best friends, J.D. Tucker, texted me a photo of him and Shaquille O'Neal at his store.
Degenerate.
Hail Dark Aesthetic. He is a reprobate.
Yes.
He is the truest form of that word.
He's so screwed up.
He's such a good, awful person. He is he is to me what I am to John. Is like this person I care for, even though I myself am a complete mess.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
God, you're insightful.
So
today.
But Shaq was at his store. He didn't give you a heads up.
Shaq was in there for 25 seconds. He was filming a thing. Shaq's a collector.
I'm gonna buy a whole lion. See you later.
He's a collector of taxidermy. Walks into the store, heard there's taxidermy. JD has a full mount lion that we brought back from New York City and asked him about the price of the lion. He's like, well, that's a good price. And then left. Took a picture and left.
I found out on from a, like a local, the local news Twitter feed that he actually ate not a half a mile from my house.
Really?
And I was very disappointed. You know, he was at Bar Taco.
Ew.
Oh.
Yeah. Why?
What is that?
God.
It's just terrible. It's like a
who cares taco place.
It's taco, the gentrified taco.
Right.
I'm excited. Gentrifiedtaco.com. This gives me a bit of a preamble for like when we watch a documentary on Shaq being broke and it's like,
yeah, I bought like 600 lions.
Well, I mean, he bought a plane. I think he can buy all the lions. As Shaq's money manager, you can buy all the lions you want. And don't buy planes.
Yeah, and that's like that's actually a thing. Like you can make money doing that. My friend makes a living.
Warren Sapp style, he leases the taxidermy.
Right.
He does rentals. JD. All right.
Well, all those questions that we were answering were submitted by our Patreon supporters, the Croissant Questionnaire. If you want to submit your own question, you can do that by becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Also,
leads us to our doggy bag.
Oh, we got it. All right.
Drop and dime of the week.
In the off season, John is giving away now for, I guess, like 6 more weeks.
Yes, only 6 more weeks.
We are giving away to a random Patreon supporter just a doggy bag of some fun NBA collectibles from his prize cabinet. So who's the doggy bag winner of the week, randomly selected by a number generator?
It was the one, the only, the all father, the slack daddy, Sam Wilkinson.
Sam Wilkinson.
He deserves it. He does. What a good person.
He does deserve it. I was happy when it clicked to number 23, by the way.
I mean,
jump man, jump.
You'd be happy. We love all our children equally. Except for the slack daddy, Sam Wilkinson.
Slack daddy.
That's right. I do play favorites. My girlfriend gets mad that I have an ever shifting amorphous hierarchy of pets.
Oh, yeah.
And I loudly proclaim it. And whenever one of them does something terrible, I tell them, you have just moved to 5th on the list.
I don't understand your girlfriend's opinion of loving all your pets equally. That actually does seem insane. Mm-hmm. Like how?
Yeah.
She's adamant about it.
That's wild.
No. The world's not equal.
Yeah.
Well, when your loins are drying up like ours, Keith, they become your children.
I hope my loins dry up. I have my babies.
I got to get one more person pregnant.
Well, anyway, so congratulations, Sam. If you guys want to enter, you got 6 more weeks to try to win a prize pack from old Uncle John. Also, we have fantasy basketball coming up that you have to be a Patreon supporter to be a part of. There's some bonus videos. I reviewed my Dippin' Dots. The bonus episode that Chuck and John tried to create, that will be released.
They never 30 make it.
Minutes of technical difficulties and cursing.
There you go. So all of that is at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Parfait away, gentlemen.
Got one.
What are we looking forward to?
Dwayne Wade announcing this is his last season.
Well, I thought he called it fake news. Is it real now?
No, this is what I've... I mean, this is 16 hours ago that my... way too late.
Dwayne's already tweeted fake news.
Oh,
so, gotcha.
Got me. That's why you come here, guys, to get your facts checked.
To get got.
Mm-hmm. All right, then don't retire.
Wherever Dwayne Wade ends up, that's a great thing to look forward to.
I think he's going to play for Miami. No, can he go somewhere else?
I thought it's funny that like none of the Heat's free agents have gone anywhere.
Why would you leave Miami?
Luke Babbitt.
Tax season.
Jordan Mickey.
Jordan Mickey's nice.
Is Udonis Haslem still a Heat, Chuck?
Udon noodle. He'll never not be. He's gonna roll right into the organization. He's gonna work as a video guy or something.
Well, go, Sean.
I am looking forward to the continued Machiavellian machinations of Steve Ballmer. Setting himself up for the future, firing Bruce Bowen
because
he was a Kawhi besmircher, and he knows that he needs every possible wrinkle to get Kawhi. Hmm. So Bruce Bowen fired from the Clippers broadcast. I love what the Clippers are doing. We've got those weird injury-prone guys like Pat Beverly and Milos Teodosic backed up by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, I think all the pieces are there, boys. It's going to be fun.
Not backed up for long. I'm all in on Shai Gilgeous.
Yeah, I think I missed the portion. Did you guys do that part? Did you guys do that part of the show?
Which part of the show?
That's my rookie of the year sleeper.
Oh, that's good.
We didn't talk about rookies.
Oh, we need a rookie of these. Yeah, we skipped that question.
It. Next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to my par fadeaway is related to the schedule is out. There's all kinds of fun, tasty things on the schedule. There's a couple of good Memphis weekends. We'll be setting up our Memphis Grizzlies watch parties in Nashville. So that'll be fun to get our watch parties back on the calendar. I think another par fadeaway. I think Dylan Brooks is coming on in a couple weeks. Going to talk some Grizzlies basketball with him.
Oh my God.
I might be telling jokes at the Basement East in front of Joe Mandy.
Oh, there you go. Right. When's Joe Mandy coming?
I got to ask.
Mondi.
I've seen
his
name.
Does Joe Mondi play for the Grizzlies? Help me here.
He used to.
He's 5'2".
Ah.
He's a comic.
He wrote for Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, funny guy.
He's a comic. He's a sitcom writer.
Yeah. But yeah, I get to tell jokes.
And a huge Minnesota Timberwolves fan.
He's a fan of the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm reeling from this Dylan Brooks stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
that is an actual Grizzlies player. That is not...
It only took us 5 years.
That is not Brandon Wright.
It's not Wade Baldwin. Friends of the show.
That's not WB40. No. That is an act. Keith, I'm getting nervous.
No, I'm happy.
Can you get me an over-the-phone autograph?
Did we make it?
Well, the Grizzlies are actually coming. Dylan Brooks is coming to a Sounds game on September 2nd, John.
Is this going
to
be in person?
Yeah, he'll be here in person Sunday, September 2nd.
Will you touch the hem of his garment for me?
Sure, we'll shake hands like normal people.
No,
but
you should do that.
No,
do you mind if I touch the hem of your shorts?
Yeah.
We should.
Can you heal my hemorrhage?
We should make it like, are you going to meet him or is it going to be a phone call?
The interview?
Yeah.
But he's going to be here
in
person.
Will you look him deep in the eye, look him directly in the eye and go, we'll always have your rookie season.
Did you guys go to the Sounds game last year and meet Wade Baldwin?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. No.
I wanted
I'm banned
to.
From the Sound Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
That's reasonable.
John heckles at Vanderbilt games and gets bad. So he's not allowed to where they play.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, sorry that came back to bite you. Anyway, so we'll have another, again, those episodes coming out. Monty McCutcheon and Dylan Brooks. We'll have a full episode sometime in the next 2 weeks, probably.
Wow.
We'll get it going. And then, it's time for Butter or Worse.
I know.
We got our parquet previews and then the over-unders.
Over-unders has been so difficult.
I know.
I
try not to look at them all. It's been great for podcast listening. I just delete everyone's podcast because everyone's doing their over-unders now. I'm like, I can't hear that.
No.
Delete. Anyway, so that's stuff to look forward to. Again, if you want the bonus content, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter at fastbreakbreak. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being GNG. Fair break, man. You understand?
San Antonio. I've been going back and forth the last few weeks trying to figure out the right things to say. And it comes down to two simple words. F*** you. My family and I want to say F*** you to the entire Spurs organization and the people and fans of San Antonio. F*** you to every one of my teammates I've played with over my 7 years in the NBA. F*** you. Pop, I'll always be grateful for my growth under your guidance. F*** you to the fans. There is not a more passionate or dedicated fan base than what I witnessed in San Antonio. Throughout all the ups and downs, I'm glad there were many more ups. I'll never forget what we shared and accomplished together. While I am looking forward to the next chapter in my career, I'll always remember the city and the people of San Antonio. F*** you.
Kawhi Leonard.